Friends, I'm going to start this evening with a few words of reminiscence, not to say autobiography. So far as I remember, my first conscious contact with Buddhism took place when I was about 9 or 10 years of age. And by the time I was about 16, I had come to the realization, or come to the understanding, that I was, in fact, a Buddhist. Not that I became one, but that I realized, that I understood, that I was one, in fact, had been one all the time. So this being the case, I may say that I have now been involved with Buddhism, or what in the West we call Buddhism, what in the East is known as the Dharma, or the Buddha Dharma, for rather over 30 years. And when I say involved, I don't mean casually involved or superficially involved or involved from time to time. I mean deeply involved and continuously involved, and involved in all sorts of ways. Involved by way of study of Buddhist literature, scriptures, canonical languages, involved by way of personal practice, involved, especially in the East, by way of contact with other Buddhists of many different schools and traditions, involved by way of participation in organized Buddhist activities, Buddhist movements of various kinds, and involved also by way of writing and teaching and so on. Now, roughly halfway through this 30-year period, that is to say roughly 15 years ago, I came in contact with the Tantra. And when I came in contact with the Tantra, I was living in a place called Kalimpong. Kalimpong is a small town, as many of you know by this time, situated in the foothills of the eastern Himalayas, some 4,000 feet above sea level. And it's situated within sight of the tiny Himalayan principality of Sikkim, the Kingdom of Bhutan, Kingdom of Nepal, and also Tibet. Now, when I say that I came in contact with the Tantra, I don't mean, as one might have meant here in the West, I don't mean that I started reading books about it. In any case, at that time, there were no books in English on the Tantra, or at least no really reliable ones, none that were really worth reading. When I say that in Kalimpong, 15 years ago, I came in contact with the Tantra, I mean, in the first place, that I came in contact with followers of Tantric Buddhism, followers of the Vajrayana, people who were engaged in the actual practice of the Tantric path. I mean that I came in contact also, a little later on, with Tantric art, with Tantric ritual, and eventually came in contact with a number of great Tantric gurus, eventually came in contact with Tantric initiation and with Tantric practice. And as I look back to that period of first coming in contact with the Tantra, as I look back on those days, on those years, I can well remember my early impressions, my early impressions of the Tantra. And I remember that my predominant impression as I came in contact with the Tantra and tried to penetrate a little into it, tried to understand it, tried to see what it was all about, tried to see how it connected with other forms of Buddhism with which I was familiar, tried to see even how it connected with modern thought, modern psychology, comparative symbolism, and so on. My predominant impression was that the Tantra was a jungle. That it was a jungle in which, moreover, one could very easily become lost. Because after all, as I came in contact with the Tantra, as I came in contact with more and more practitioners of it, so many teachers of it, there seems to be so many different traditions within the Tantra. Traditions of meditation, higher spiritual practice, traditions of ritual observance, and so on. So many different kinds of exercise, so many different ritual objects, so many different kinds of offerings, even so many different kinds of robe and dress used on different ceremonial occasions. And even, I may add, just as a sort of lighter touch, there seems to be even so many kinds in the Tantra of ceremonial hats. Hats which were worn for various ritual purposes by various people in different traditions. So much so was this the case that I remember I used to tell some of my Tibetan friends who are followers of the Tantra that I found the Tantra far too vast and far too complicated to study as a whole, and that I was going to confine myself to the study of one little corner. I said I was going to confine myself to a study of the hats, some of which were very weird and wonderful indeed. And I used to say that I intended making a collection of these hats. I saw at least 100, I'm sure, very, very different and very, very interesting. So I used to say I'd make a collection of at least 100 different kinds of tantric hat and then write a book about them. Not only that, but there were so many different images in the temples, tantric images, so many paintings, scroll paintings. There were so many figures of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas and Gurus and Dharkas and Dharkinis and Dharmapalas. So all these things, encountering all these things on the occasion of my first contact with the Tantra, made me feel that the Tantra was a vast jungle. Now in the course of the last 7 weeks, we've been concerned with just one aspect of the Tantra, one aspect of that very rich and complex tradition. We've been concerned simply with the creative symbols of the tantric path to enlightenment, simply with this particular aspect. But it may well be that some, at least, of those of you who've attended all these lectures may already have received the same kind of impression of the Tantra as I received 10 to 15 years ago. You may have received an impression of incredible richness and variety, an impression of growth, an impression of fertility, an impression of abundance of material. In other words, you may have received an impression that the Tantra was like a jungle, that it was difficult to find one's way around in the Tantra, that the Tantra was something in which it was very easy to get lost. Now, if one has been feeling like this, if in fact one feels like this, or is feeling like this, towards the end of this series of lectures, then one shouldn't be at all worried. Huh? One shouldn't be at all concerned. In fact, in a sense, one should congratulate oneself. Because this feeling of being lost, lost among the creative symbols of the tantra, is by no means a bad thing. In fact, we may say, it's a good thing. It's a positive thing. Because though we feel lost, and though in a sense we are lost, we are not really lost. All that has happened is that we've become, as it were, intellectually lost, rationally lost. All that it means is that we find ourselves unable to account rationally for whatever it is that we've been encountering, whatever it is, in fact, that we've been experiencing. As some of these creative symbols were evoked, we may have felt moved, we may have felt stirred. But by what? In what way? Why? That, perhaps, we have been unable to explain. So all that, in fact, has happened when we feel lost is that we're just unable to account rationally for the effect of the creative symbols on us, unable to make sense of them and our experience of them in terms of our ordinary, everyday, conscious experience. So that we find, on further reflection, on deeper reflection, we find that the Tantra, jungle-like though it may appear at first sight, is not really like a jungle at all. We may say that the Tantra is in fact much more like a garden, but like a sort of multi-dimensional garden. Or even we may say the Tantra is like a system, a whole system of multi-dimensional intersecting mazes, but mazes which are themselves gardens. In other words, despite the richness of the Tantra, despite its incredible profusion, despite its superabundance of material, despite its exuberance, there is, running through the Tantra, running all the way through the Tantra, a pattern. Or we may say, even, a number of patterns, a number even of interlocking patterns. And these patterns, which we find in the Tantra, these patterns are not intellectual, but spiritual. They're not imposed from the outside on the Tantra as on some foreign body of material, but they unfold from within the Tantra, expressing its innermost essential nature. And it is with one of these patterns, one of these patterns within the Tantra, that we're concerned tonight. We're concerned with the symbolism of the five Buddhas, male, inverted commas, and female, again, inverted commas. And this pattern, the pattern of the five Buddhas, is one of the most important patterns that we find in the whole range of the Tantra. And unless we are familiar with it, even very familiar with it, not just intellectually familiar, not just familiar by way of information, but emotionally familiar, spiritually intimate, if you like, then we have little hope of finding our way about in the apparent jungle of the Tantra.